W8FU. Happy Monday.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, look at that. The Three Musketeers. Oh, anyhow. How was your weekend, the glorious weekend? Let's see, Dakota? The Breakfast Club is live. The weekend was great. It was finally not raining, not cold, not snowing, so I was outside almost the entire weekend. Met Greg and other Dave and John at Bald Mountain. Scratched out a brutal activation because the bands were horrendous. But I got to run through all my gear and make sure that was all working, so that was fun. And then went home, cut up a bunch of wood, and started a huge fire from all the stuff that was on my property when we bought it, and then carried that over to yesterday and cut up some more wood and continued the big fire. What about you, Anthony? How was your weekend?
I mean, I didn't get a brutal activation or start a giant fire, but it was pretty good. I got out fishing Saturday morning, and the weather couldn't have been better. The catching was terrible, but hooked into some fish and just didn't get them landed. It was an amazing weekend. It was hopefully they only get better from here. Over to you, John.
Well, that's cool. Everybody enjoyed the weekend. So I heard the bands were pretty crappy. But so what, you know? And what's going to be interesting is that in a few years when it's always like that. So you got to get while the getting's good. But that's a little unusual these days. I remember when I first got in the hobby, we were at the peak of a really incredible cycle. And, so we got used to always having opportunity. You know, it's like every time you turn on the radio, things were wide open. You know, it was like clockwork. You know, you just knew that during the day, time was going to be wide open. At night, it would lengthen out. 15, 20, 20 would be open. It was just the getting was great, and we didn't realize what was coming. You know, and then when the lull came, we all were like, "What the hell's up with this? You know, this ain't right." So, yeah, get while the getting's good, man. That's a good deal. And hey, I don't know, Anthony. Fishing is supposed to be, what is it? What is it that they say? Bad day fishing's better than best day of work. Better than a lot of things. So when it comes around, what kind of fishing was it? River, trout type fishing, or what? So when it comes back around, no big deal. Dakota?
Yeah, Anthony, I ended up getting up at 5:30 on Saturday and started watching TV. I had about 2 hours of peace and quiet to myself. So I did not even go scouting. I didn't leave the house. I took my morning. I haven't done that in a long time. And Sean, yeah, that was my problem. I came in, got my general, and it was what, 2022? So everything was we were just peaking. And as a new HF operator, it was cake. I just turned on the radio, like you said, tuned around. But yeah, yesterday I brought my 40-foot spider beam and my freshly tuned up 49-1. Tuned flat on 20, and just people would be booming, and then they would be gone. So it was, I spotted myself. I didn't have a single person hit me up. I had to hunt all 10 contacts. So, somewhere to fishing, right? A bad day at radio is better than a good day at work, so I'll take it. And, I don't know. We'll see how this is going to get. If it's going to be like that, I think I'm going to just pack away my gear. I'll just play UHF, VHF. Go ahead, Anthony.
If I would have known you guys were out there, I would have tried to meet up with you after fishing just to hang out for a bit. Sean, I was river fishing. I was on the Clinton over in Yates and that general area. And yeah, we were specifically fishing for steelhead, super elusive fish, so didn't expect a whole lot of luck, there was the tail end of the sucker run, so we hooked into some fish, just weren't able to land them. River was still high and really fast from the rain that we had last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. It was still pushing at almost double its normal river flow. So it was an awesome day to be out. I could have just grabbed a chair and sat next to the river without a fishing rod. It was so nice out. So I wasn't sad. There's so many days you go out and don't hook anything. To get out there and actually hook into a fish or two is a win. So over to you, Sean.
Oh, yeah. No, I see guys up that way. You know, and it reminds me, I saw a photograph of the Detroit River on Saturday, and it was just wall-to-wall boats, you know, and they're all fishermen, you know. And so Saturday down on the Detroit River, it was crazy. So I'm wondering if, you know, you had a lot of people out there on the river as well. Not the only one that had that idea kind of thing. So... And as far as the bad bands go, you know, this is where you start to look in the long wire antennas and you start looking at how you can get active on 40 and 80 and things like that. You start readjusting. Yeah, VHF, UHF, you know, terrestrial radio. But that requires, you know, real high antennas, you know, if you're going to really, really do that up. And we're at a solar minimum. Things require a commitment. You got to have big wire antennas to get, you know, down on 75, 80. So it's a different game when the solar activity is low. But I think we still got some time. I think I don't think the best of it is behind us yet. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong. I don't know where we are. I don't really know where we are either. I'm hoping that was just a bad day, and I still have my long wire, so I would just I'm gonna have to figure out how to get that thing up in the air at my house, whether it's a mast, which that seems to be the only option. But yeah, nonetheless, it was a good day. I got to hang out with Greg and Dave and John, so had my wife and kids with me. They got to run around, so it was not a bad deal. I was telling Greg, I'm like, you know, next time I'll try to plan ahead a little bit further and get some more people involved so we can make it an event rather than a spontaneous, hey, I'm going to be here tomorrow if anyone wants to go. Anthony, NADBF. Yeah, that would be cool. I'd love to get out there and watch you guys operate and try to understand it more. Sean, as far as the Detroit River, yeah, it is the season for prime walleye, so I'm sure they were boat to boat across that river to the international line, and then there's probably Canadian guys fishing it too. So, it is the season. There wasn't as many people on the Clinton, just not as big of a deal. There's a lot of guys that fish it, but we're walking in with waders and you know, the barrier entry is pretty high, so it's there's a lot of guys though, but there's enough space over there that you don't really run into people if you get out far enough. Over to you, Sean. Yeah, I didn't see the Canadian side, but they're fishing for pickerel though. Yeah, it's a whole different kettle of fish, pun intended. But yeah, it was pretty crowded. I didn't realize it was prime walleye pickerel season, so there's that. And some good eating, man. That's what it was, walleye fishermen. I was going to go out there, not fishing, but I was going to go out to Bald Mountain on Saturday, and then I discovered some problems with that repeater we just recently, the Mecca we just put online. I discovered a problem with it on Friday,
And on the way home from work, I stopped in and I checked a couple of things. And it was, and we got into the unit, remotely, and we saw if it was a programming error. When it turned out not to be, it was bugging me. It was really bothering me. So I ended up marching up there Saturday to see if I could figure out what was going on. And Wally joined me, and figuring it out, it was miswired. So got that fixed. But by the time I got up there and figured that all out, it was a little too late. So I got wild hair to go fix that damn repeater, and then I did. So, hey, whatever.
Still productive and appreciated. Andy, I used to go out on the Detroit River with a buddy a few years back, and it was always just an absolute zoo. Finding parking was hard. You'd have to get there super early. You get on the river, there's boats literally everywhere. The heads have got to be on a swivel constantly, making sure you're not drifting into each other. I'm not a huge fisherman, so I finally said, you know what, dude, I'm not getting up that early to do that anymore, because we never really caught that many fish either. But, yeah, I know it gets pretty bumping out there.
Yeah, I've never been out there, but I've been down there, like, on the river walk this time of year in the morning, and it's like combat fishing out there, man. It's wild how many boats they jam in over there. It's like, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
I mean, is there, like, a specific area in the river where, you know, the fishing is best? Or is it like that, the whole stretch? How is it everybody's all congregated? Or is it literally the whole, it can't be the whole river, the whole way, is it? I don't know. Why is everybody all congregated in one spot? That seems odd to me. You'll have to comment on that. W8FU, Dakota.
The last time I was out on the Detroit, there was literally like thousands of boats and pretty much a couple miles stretch. So I don't know if it's specific spots or water depth. Like I said, I'm not a fisherman, but it was a zoo. I got to jump out though. It was update day last night for whatever frickin' reason. It was not supposed to happen. So all of my systems need to be reconfigured and fixed. So I'm gonna jump out and get going here. But hopefully I'll catch you guys on the way out of here. Everyone have a good day, and carry on, NADBF.
Catch up with you soon, Dakota. Sean, as far as walleye, I'm not 100% sure. I know they're going up the river to spawn. So with other fish, specifically like salmon and steelhead, they are going up the river to spawn, and with the walleye, they're catching the run. All the fish have congregated together, and they're moving upriver to spawn, which that's when those guys are trying to catch that run of fish, and while they're all congregated together. With salmon and steelhead, they go up the river from a lake, they go back to where they were born, and spawn in that same spot. So they move up the river together, and then they get to a section of the river with a gravel bottom, and the females lay the eggs, and the males fertilize them, and then they take off. And in the meantime, they'll hold in deep holes and stuff like that. So depending on where you're at in that cycle, you either fish the river in deep holes, or you're fishing them moving. So I don't really know how it operates for walleye, but it's got to be something very similar. So that section of river might be right downtown, might be one of the narrower spots of the Detroit River, not real sure. So those boats may go there because the fish have to move in and congregate tighter.
All right, well, that makes a lot of sense, you know. So, I mean, there's also, you know, somebody's hitting, you know, somebody hears that, oh, they're hitting real good so-and-so place or this or that or, you know, it's Stoshu's Bend, you know. So, you know, next thing you know, that word travels, everybody's at Stoshu's Bend or whatever. But, yeah, I get it. And, well, that's pretty clear. And, yeah, I can see, okay, so you're looking for some very specific things, catch the run, the gravel bottom, all that stuff, so I get it. And I guess it's a little, as Dakota said, it's a little broader than I had. I mean, I just saw the one picture, and I just imagined, you know, I couldn't imagine that going for miles, but, you know, that, I didn't consider that either. Maybe what I saw was just a... you know, just where they decided to take the picture, it would have been like that, you know, quite a ways up and down from there. So, interesting. Yep. Huh. I'll be damn, learn something.
Yeah, for sure. If you decide to hop on your bike next Saturday, get downtown, ride the Riverwalk, and I bet you would see boats like that from about Belle Isle down to the Ambassador Bridge. They'd be that thick in there.
Yeah, so everybody's just trying to get a spot on the river. So I didn't realize it went that far. I thought the picture I was looking at was like one spot, but it might have just been a particular dense spot or something. I saw it and I went, holy cow. I guess I never realized. I knew that there was a lot of fishing on the river, you know, for walleye in particular. I knew that. Did they used to smelt dip, or they probably still do the smelt dipping on the river? I've seen a lot of that when I was a kid. I don't know why. We didn't do it. But, and more on the Canadian side for some reason, I'm thinking.
I don't know that people smelt dip on the Detroit River. It doesn't mean they don't do it, but I don't know that I've ever heard of it. I know that there's rivers up north that they used to. I haven't heard a lot about it in recent years. I don't know if the smelt runs have went down, or I doubt it would just be that people don't do it. But yeah, I've never done it, and I don't know that people really do it anymore, and I don't know why.
Leave a little room in there. Well, this was when I was much younger, a kid or a young man, you know, in my 20s. So this would have been 70s and maybe early 80s that I recall this, probably 70s. So I don't know, you know, if I caught an anomaly or if it was common back then and it no longer is, but I haven't seen anything of that nature in a very, very long time, but I seem to recall seeing that, I think, a couple of times when I was in Canada. I don't know. Whatever. I also saw up there, the only place I ever saw a guy hunting with a bow, you know, was up in and around Bay City. A little bit east of Bay City, there was some, I don't know if it was marshlands or what, but there were guys out there with bows. First time I'd ever, only place I'd ever seen that.
Hey, Sean, I got to pump gas real quick. But in the 70s and 80s, I know smell dipping was much bigger. Like I said, it was a big deal back then. You probably heard a lot about it. But now, I don't know why. It's not a big deal. But I'll be right back. K-E-A-R-U-H.
All righty. W-8-F-U.
K-E-A-R-U-H.
Oh, just waiting to turn into the Starbucks here. Get myself a coffee. Nothing exotic today, though.
Sounds good. Man, it is a beautiful morning. I do not want to go into the office. I want to be outside.
I usually ask Google what the weather is going to be like every morning when I get up, and it says 68 today. Man, it's going to be gorgeous.
I know. I got to figure out an excuse to leave early. I need to make something up.
Well, let's see here. Let me see. What excuse could we use? I don't know, man. Some of the bands are open and you have to do your duty for emergency services, that there's a threat of sunny weather with a chance of 68. You got to man the weather station.
That's as good as any. Hey, I forgot to ask you. You were saying you had to work on a new machine, a new repeater that you put up Saturday. What one is that, and where is it? Maybe I knew about it. Maybe I didn't.
All right, sorry about that. I was ordering my pipe, but you were asking about, I had to turn it down because the barista was on the speaker mic, but you were asking about the work we did on the repeater on Saturday. Is that what it was?
Yeah, you said you put a new repeater online, and I'm just trying to work my memory and try to remember if I knew that you were putting something new online or not, so I was just wondering where it was, what it was.
Right. Well, that phrase is kind of vague, and I could have been a little bit more specific. It's an old system. It's the Mecca, the Mount Clemens 147-200, the VHF machine that the ARPSC people use. So we did up the repeater, and technically it's not a new repeater. It's the old repeater, but it's got a whole new controller so that we can run All-Star and we get satellite receivers cooking and all this other stuff. But we got all that configured. We installed it, I think it was last week. And then I noticed something wasn't right with it. Hold on, I got to pay and get my coffee. Coffee today is 281. I can deal with that. Okay, anyhow, so we had reconfigured it, got it all working with the RTCM controller, All-Star, getting it ready, prepped for satellite receivers, and we noticed something was wrong with it. It was in carrier swells, or something was going on where it didn't matter what you keyed up, what tone, even no tone, it would still key. And it was having these annoying squelch bursts. And so I ran up there to make sure the repeater was programmed right, which it was. And so then I thought maybe it was a setting in this the new controller. And so we checked that out on Saturday morning when I got the credentials for it, because I didn't know where it was on the network. And then when we found that, Fred took a look at it because he's got some experience with those and said everything's programmed right except for it always looks like it's got PL. It doesn't matter. Even when it's not receiving, it shows a logic level for PL. Like, what? So, Wally, that started bugging me. So we went up there, and Wally and I, and tore into it, and found out that it was misconfigured. So reconfigured it, got it all up and running. Felt good to do that, but it was just bugging me. So instead of being outside on a nice day, I was up at a repeater site doing that, which wasn't all bad, but it wasn't outside.
Well, now it's done, and you can, next time it's nice out, you won't be there screwing around with that, that's for sure.
No, it'll be the next thing on the list, but I'm hoping this week they have some time to get the satellite receivers working. I'm going to put one down in our end of the county, and then another one way up in the north. So, I've got them on the bench. They're all wired and everything. Now I got to check the programming on them, see if those were wired wrong. Same exact product. And just only receivers. They don't have transmitter sections. So I've got to check those, make sure those are all right, and then we got a few other little odds and ends we got to do, and Saturday, in fact, may be another repeater day. Getting the GPS deployed, the receivers. We're gonna have one receiver in Warren and one in Richmond, and you know, then we'll that'll complete it. So the main transmitter will remain in Mount Clemens. Oh, and I gotta also, I think there's a problem with the duplexer tuning on the repeater, so I gotta get to that at some point. But you know how it goes. You do what you can do when you can do it, and you know, sometimes I hope I can work it in the work week, but that's difficult to do.
So the satellite receiver, you get it up and running down in Warren, and what if any will be seen by a common user like myself with that? Like, is there anything that, like, I'll be like, oh, now that there's a satellite here, I can do this, or what exactly is that doing?
Well, it just gives you a portal into the repeater from further away, it extends the receiver footprint, and when you won't notice anything. You know, you don't program your radio any differently. You don't do anything. You just key your microphone. And then, whatever receivers in a satellite receiver system, you could have 1, 2, 3, 4. You'd have as many additional receivers as you want. And each of the receivers, that's hearing you, puts a very granular RSSI number. It encodes an RSSI number with your, which is, this is why it's so very important that the receiver equipment all be the same, so that receiver, RSSI is the same across the board. And then what happens is, and then everything's timed with GPS so that there's no, lag, time lag or anything like that. And basically the controller just says, hey, the best RSSI is coming from this receiver. So that's the receiver that gets repeated. So to you, nothing, but in the background, there's multiple receivers out there looking for wherever you have the best signal.
Okay, that makes sense. And that's into the FBI network or into the Central Michigan network?
Whether either one of these, whether this repeater is hooked up to another network like Central Michigan or FBI, something like that, is neither here nor there. It's all an individual repeater. So it would be like saying, depending on how this goes, if this goes as well as I think it's going to, I'm probably going to do this 2.6. But how you have a hard time getting into 2.6? And then I have a real interest in having a coverage down that way. I could put a satellite receiver down there on the hospital, let's say. And then, you and I could run around with handy talkies. Well, you can always hear the repeater, right? But you can't get into it. You're too far away with an HD. But, put a satellite receiver down there in the hospital, and next thing you know, we're sitting there, we're sitting there in our boxers, working the repeater just fine. We've got a full quieting signal. It's just to the individual repeater. A voting system goes to an individual repeater, and then it extends its receive footprint, so to speak.
Okay, that makes sense. And is the satellite receiver, is that internet-based or is that RF-based, to get back to the repeater itself?
Well, in the past, satellite receivers were RF-based. You would have link frequencies, and you would shoot this stuff back over these RF links, and then you would do your signal to noise voting, at the main repeater site. What would happen is you would faithfully transmit the air noise back to the main site, where a unit would do signal to noise voting. So it was all and it was all very touchy because you had to make sure the links had to be perfect. They had to be rock solid, full quieting. You couldn't introduce any noise with your links. It had to be the same, you know, frequency characteristics because synchronized voting operates in a specific range, you know, and so you had to make sure that you didn't have a difference of, audio characteristics that could give you falses and whatnot. Today, though, what we're doing is we're doing what's called All-Star voting. So it uses All-Star, and basically it uses, you know, it could use the Internet, but we're using the 44-net that we've installed at all the sites, so we get rid of latency issues, things like that. And, you know, then the GPS timing ensures even further that everything is, rock-solid timed. And then, so there's no problem which receiver it picks. And, the audio will be exactly in step because of the GPS timing. But I got to get in the door. We can talk about this more anytime, but I do got to get in the door here. After yours, W8FU.
Likewise, I'm sitting in the car listening to what you're saying. So, this is super interesting. I was just trying to understand, you know, what outside sources it's reliant on, you know, if Comcast goes down, is it down sort of thing. But, yeah, I will, I'll catch up with you on this later, KE8RUH. Have a great day, Sean, and maybe we'll talk this afternoon.
Okie doke, W8FU. NAKPP Mobile. NAKPP.
ATFM.
Theta, Steven, you're over here on the FBI, I take it?
Yeah, I'm over here in Smith Creek. I'm on the Richmond repeater. I think I'm just at the edge of its range, though. Yeah, I had to drive and pick some stuff up. I'm heading back to the house now.
Yeah, I have this thing in scan, so I never know where folks are. But yeah, you're sounding good. Maybe a little bit of popcorn, but it's clear and you're in the system.
Yeah, I've been so busy lately the last couple weeks, I haven't even had my radios on really. finally was able to turn everything back on. Trying to get everything caught up so I can have a quiet weekend. That's my hope anyway.
Yeah, I don't think you missed too much. I don't know if you were aware, the 147.2 repeater now has a all-star presence and is linked into the VHF system.
I heard something about a VHF repeater, so what's the call of that repeater? I can't even say I knew about it.
I'm pretty sure you knew about it, W88MAC or W8MAC, one of the two. It's the Macomb. It's the one that they do the weather stuff on.
All right, it kind of sounds familiar. I don't even think I got that one programmed, to be honest. So, is it linked to anything or just the All-Star?
Yeah, it's part of the, it's now part of the CMN, I don't know which one it is, MI1? It's the VHF repeaters of the CMN network.
That's cool. I'm going to have to check that out. I have to get that, have to get a program. I got to pull the radio out and I forget what I got to update anyway. There was something I was meaning to pull it out for. But, I'll have to add that. That's good. Does that repeater have a good footprint?
Yes and no. There's going to be, eventually there's going to be receive sites for Warren and, I want to say Richmond, somewhere north. Somewhere north and somewhere south. So the intention is to cover all of Macomb County. So, like, if there's any type of emergency stuff for Macomb County, it'll be on that one. And then if it happens like before, 2.6 will have, like, the Michigan region, you know, Michigan warning. So that, and then you have, like, the MI5 on DMR, too. But you'll get both the state coverage and then the local coverage that way by monitoring both.
That's cool. Yeah, I actually was on GMRS for a good amount of time. They had a net going when I was driving home from Chicago on Friday night. So I was chatting with some people out there in Indiana. That was kind of the extent of my radio stuff. But yeah, they seem to have quite a bit of GMRS activity over there.
There's a big system also for ham in the Chicago area. I was listening to a net one Sunday night, and they seemed to have I forgot what they called the net. It wasn't a hoot owl net like they have over here, but it was like the late shift net or something like that. But it was like Sunday at like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, it's funny. He asked me where I was from. I told him the Detroit area, and he's like, yeah, you guys like to run the link repeaters there.
I take it they weren't linked over there. They were just like standalone repeaters that you hop between.
Yeah, I didn't answer anything or say anything, but he said, yeah, but it's not allowed. He seemed to have an attitude about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, what they use it for, that's not what the service was meant for either. You know, it's not meant to just go talk to your buddies. It's meant for, you know, local communications. And then, like, if you're going to do, like, regional stuff like that, then you should really get a ham license and be on the ham repeaters. GMS is mostly meant for, like, families communicating with each other and, you know, family farms and things like that. But I'm not going to judge anybody. Just that's what they intended it for.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll even use it anymore around here. The last holdover moved over to him, so I probably won't use it much.
Yeah, I mean, you can use it or not use it. I mean, it's not hurting anything. Jack is still dual citizenship. He's over there still. He's bouncing between the two. He made a lot of friends over there, so I understand. Break. Usually you just throw your call sign out. You don't say break. We're not CB.
Sorry about that, KF8 DSF. I was just testing a new radio here. New ham, obviously. Just seeing if this is getting out.
Say that it's getting out. We hear you.
All right. Appreciate the comeback. KF8 DSF.
KF8S. All right, Davey, and I'm going to go get some lunch, so I will chat with you later. Enjoy your drive. Hopefully you arrive safely. Listen out. Hey, Theta.
All right, sounds good. Take it easy, man. KETFM. Who was that out there? I didn't catch your name.
Name is Greg here, KF8DSF. Up in Flint area.
Ah, very good. They're up to the KF now. Yeah, I figured that was going to happen here sooner or later. Yeah, my name is Davian. I'm in Shelby Township. But right now I'm driving over near, I don't know, Marine City, I think. Cruising down 94 back home, so. Yeah, it looks like we got a pretty good footprint now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a ways out there. I didn't know we had a repeater out that way. Still learning how these things are all linked up, but came from the GMRS side. Friends with Jack over there. We pretty much got our licenses about the same time. I think he got it the week before I did, so. Just out and about with a mobile here and a little handheld HT, and I got a Comet 2x4 on the back, just trying it out here.
Oh, you're making it out real good. You must be pretty within a reasonable range to the repeater. Yeah, I'm on the Richmond repeater now. I'm also using a Comet 2x4, and I'm running about 50 watts. I got a mobile mounted in my car permanently, so yeah. Well, congratulations on the license. Yeah, so I've been hearing a lot of new names here lately. Yeah, Jack being one of them. So yeah, so that's cool. Yeah, we need more people in the hobby. Keep it all going.
Yeah, Roger that. I had family in it. My mother was. Back in the day, in the 80s, she was a ham operator extra, to believe it or not, but never had any interest when I was younger, but now I'm 61 and retired and just picked it up, so giving the hobby a try and enjoying it, loving it so far.
Yeah, the upgrade to general is where money started disappearing. I like DHF stuff, so... I was going to try and do, I do a lot of POTA and that, but I haven't been able to make it out in the last little bit. I was going to try to activate Wisconsin and Illinois when I was out last week, but as my day ended and I was ready to go play with radios, I got a call from
from work, and I had to get back for an emergency for Saturday early in the morning, so wasn't able to use my radios at all for that. But, yeah, things will slow down here after Easter, and then I'll be out quite a bit again doing POTA activations. So, yeah, I definitely recommend getting the general plan on HF. Completely different, you know, from the local repeaters and that. KE8TFM.
Yeah, for sure. I'm already eyeballing the general, for sure. So I haven't done any HF. I just put a little hamstick up and started messing around with that, trying to figure out how I can get it grounded on a ground plane and all of that right now. But very interested in the HF side and putting the permanent antenna up and all that. So, yeah, it's in the future for sure.
Yeah, there's enough of us that do it that we can save you a lot of trouble and hassle. You just talk to a few people on here. I mean, most of the time for POTA, that's what I'm using is a hamstick. I got a magnet mount for my truck, and that's normally what I use. You know, if I'm outside of the truck, then I have a different portable antenna, but nothing wrong with a hamstick. They work fine. I got a 20 and 40 meter and 10 that I keep in my truck with me all the time, and they work out fine. I have no issues with them at all.
Okay, yeah, not knowing how to operate the hamstick without the mag mount was my thing, is I put it up on the side of my house, right next to my eaves trough, and I got my 2 meter, 70 centimeter up near the chimney, and I just ran a 25 foot LMR 400 into the house there, and I thought I'd put the hamstick up there, but found out I don't have a counter poise ground or anything, so I got to figure that out, whether I put it back on the ground and put some radials out, but just messing around with that right now. I don't know if you have any suggestions. I was going to try running a wire from the hamstick over to my gutter and seeing if that helps at all, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, the hamstick's pretty narrow band. You know, the tuning's real picky. Even on my truck, I mean, you only have a few hundred kilohertz you can use it. But for the house, I mean, I'd recommend just getting a, it's like LDG or LGD, I can't remember what, but at my house, I just have a long wire, random wire, with a 9-to-1 unun, and I use the coax as the counterpoise. And that works just fine. I've tried so many different setups, and so far nothing has really beat the NFED random wire. And I think the one I have now is I just, through my attic, I have 119 feet, you know, randomly run through there, connected to the 9-to-1, and then about a 60-foot piece of coax, I think, going down into my basement, and that's worked out the best for me.
Yeah, very cool. KF8DSF for ID. Yeah, there's a million different ways of doing it for sure. So I'm just learning, trying to figure out what I'm going to do there. But interesting, I've heard a lot about the long wires and the dipole setups. I just don't know how I'm going to be able to string it up in my property yet. But I'd like to be able to just put a vertical up you know, a more easier setup if I could. I know there's expensive antennas out there that have all the the different bands and that, and that don't have to have a ground plane, but they're a lot of money.
Yeah, I set up like a Comet CP5H. It's a 5-band vertical, and I mean, it was a lot of money. I think it was like $300 or $400, and I can't say that it's any better than the long wire. You know, the only issue with the wire is you really got to have a tuner. where the five-band vertical, I can, you know, operate without a tuner on those five bands. And, yeah, if you have a tuner, yeah, the random wires work fine. And I've compared the two next to each other, and most of the time I can't tell the difference. So, for the receive at least. So I think it's, that's the easiest way to go. I mean, it's not real complicated to set one up. Just randomly place the wire, connect it to the 9-to-1, and then long piece of coax back to the radio, and you're done. You know, tuner, of course, but works out just fine. So, yeah, it don't matter, though. Someone will tell you to do something, and you'll still be experimenting with 100 different ways of doing stuff. So that's the hobby, I guess. KE8TFM.
Yeah, roger that. Well, you're getting a little scratchy. I don't know about you or me, but it was nice talking with you. I'm almost back to my homestead here, so maybe we'll do it again sometime. I forget your name, but mine's Greg. KF8DSF, we'll be clearing your final.
Yeah, I'm getting out of range on that, so I switched over to the Mount Clemens now. But, yeah, it was nice talking to you, Greg. Congrats on the license, and I'm sure we'll talk more. So take it easy and enjoy the rest of your day. KE8EFM.
I'm like Davian out there. KF8DRC.
Hey, Jack, how you doing? Yeah, I'm just up near Marine City picking some stuff up, so heading back to my house now, about halfway there. So how you doing? Everything good? KE8TFM.
Everything okay. How about you? I haven't heard you on this one at all.
Yeah, just busy. Work has been really crazy here the last few weeks, so I haven't even had time to do anything or get distracted, and it's basically going to be busy the rest of this week, but starting next week, it'll go back to a normal pace, I think, so at least that's what I'm hoping for anyway. But yeah, just busy. Hockey started back up, so it's yeah, all kinds of fun stuff going on, so but yeah, other than that, everything's good.
That's good. No fishing yet, Roger?
No, not yet. Pretty soon, though. Probably the boat's coming out of storage, so they're doing some maintenance to it now. And I'll probably pick it up. It'll probably be next week, early next week I'll pick it up. And then, yeah, just wait for the weather to turn around for me.
It's always this crazy weather, up and down, you don't know what the heck is going on. This is KFA-DRC.
So what's your call, VRC? Victor Romeo Charlie?
Dave says Detroit Rock City.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, DRC. Okay. All right. That's cool. So, do you get any HF radios yet?
I have a few handhelds. You know, like 20, I said that's 2 meter, 70 centimeter. That's your handheld. But I think I was talking to Captain Don. He said, get that 710, Yaesu 710 FT. He said, that is a good radio. And I looked at it. I like it. You know why I like it? Because we can take it to the park.
Well, that's the radio I'd recommend. That's what I use. I like it. Can't complain. It's a good radio. It's easy to set up. Yeah, you should have another year or two of 10 meters here. 6 meters will be starting up pretty soon. So, yeah, and then you got to get your general. So when are you going to test for that?
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, because I only got about 12 of them right out of 35, so I'm not that far.
Yeah, I keep saying I'm going to study for the extra, and I start studying, and then something happens where I stop, and I got to start back up again. So I got to pick a window here to study for it, and then actually take the test. But I'm not sure if I'll ever get around to it. But at least I keep saying I'm going to.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Same thing here. Every time I turn around, so oh, you gotta do this, and I have to do this. I have to go there, and I have to take I have to take my daughter somewhere else. And you know how it is, the family. You gotta go here, and you gotta go there, and you cannot say no.
Yeah, I don't think it ever stops. Yeah, but that's okay. It'd be boring if there wasn't people to help out, so you can only do so much radio, right?
Yeah, between here and the GMRS and drive you nuts, that GMRS is driving you crazy. I'm not on it a lot. Sometimes I'm on it, you know, because I know a few people out there. That's why.
Yeah, I haven't been out there very much. Yeah, I don't know if you heard earlier, I was in Chicago over the weekend. Well, Friday I was there all day, and then I had to drive home Friday night. But, yeah, they had some GMRS nets, and I participated in them on the drive home. So, but other than that, I don't really use GMRS much. I think the only time I use GMRS is on my, when me and the boys are out fishing in our kayaks, I use GMRS radios out there so we can talk to each other while we're floating in the lake in different spots.
I see what you're saying. All right, you take care. I'll send out after you, KFA-GRC.
All right, well, enjoy your day, Jack. It was nice chatting with you. And, yeah, we'll talk soon, I'm sure. All right, take it easy, buddy. KE8-CFM.
KE8-NOR.
Mike Noor. Is that Noor out there? KFA-GRC. Jack.
KFA-TRC. Jack, this is Noor. KE8-NOR. I'm hearing you on a different radio, my friend.
I'm on the ham side right now. I got my license 2 weeks ago. Roger.
Copy that. Congratulations, sir. I know you've been working on that for a little while, but what do you think of the other side?
I really do like it a lot. More quiet. It's not too bad. I don't know. I call them,
Copy that. Yeah, there's just a little bit less riffraff. But either one works, but I know I listen to both when I'm home working, and there's some loose cannons out on GMRS once in a while, but glad to hear you out here, though.
Yeah, I was asking, I said, where is our good guy out there? My best buddy, I was always talking to him once a while. And they tell me, I don't know who you're talking to. I said, yeah, you guys know him. I know you guys know him. So they said, okay, we'll find out for you. But I'm glad to hear you out there.
Yeah, I kind of checked out last year about this time, and of course, we know kind of why. It's like we lost somebody, and then my year just got crazy messed up looking for jobs, and after five different jobs, I finally got one that's steady now. So, and then that job keeps me so busy, I just don't have a lot of free time for radio. But Sean tapped me on the shoulder by another communication method. Says, you know, you ought to go, you ought to say hi once in a while. So I'm saying hi. KEHNOR.
Yeah, no, you're always welcome, really. Here or there, you're always more than welcome. I know that, you know. I really do miss talking to you, because when that professor was out there, I always say, hey, we got to talk to, you know, Noor. So, where is Noor? Well, he was here looking for you, Don, and that's why. Let me write that call letter again. K-E-A, what else?
November Oscar Romeo. Kilo Echo 8, November Oscar Romeo. So it's like Knorr, how you say my name.
Got it, Knorr. K-E-A-N-O-R.
Good copy. Yeah, and I think I got yours. Kilo Foxtrot 8. Tango Romeo Charlie, is that you?
Kilo Foxtrot Delta Romeo Charlie.
Delta Romeo Charlie. All right, got you on my back of the envelope log, Jack. Glad to have you in there.
Oh, anytime I will talk to you, no problem. I just talking to Davian, and I don't, maybe 2 to 3 weeks, and I'll see if I can take another test for general and see what happens. Because I do remember 12 of them, and the rest of them, you know, it takes time. You know, you got to go here, you got to go there, you got to go shopping, clothes shopping sometime, grocery shopping. And it's that cold weather, you know, hit us bad, you know, as these days before. And that's why.
Oh, yeah, we all, it's life just kind of messes up the plan. You thought you'd get something, and by the time you turn around, a month and a half has gone by, and you go, how come I didn't get that done yet? Over.
Yeah, you're right. Well, if you cannot get done, it's got to be done next day, or you got to wait for it until it gets maybe the break in the weather, which is, the weather is not bad, you know, but it's still a little chilly out there to be outside. Anyhow, Nora, good talking to you. I got to go shopping a little bit, and I will be back anyhow. Again, good talking to you. You take care. KF8DRC.
KF8DRC. Good talking to you. And catch you soon. I'll try to be out here a little more. KE8NOR.
KE8VSI Mobile. W8FU. Good afternoon. My car says 70 and it feels like it. How are you?
Pretty good. Gotta go find some lunch. I waited too long. I should probably not even bother. I should probably just go home a little early. But anyhow, my car says 73.
Yep, it's following me out. I mean, I just went out and got a quick bite to eat, and my wife was shopping, so I met her for a minute, and now I'm heading home.
Roger. Yeah, I'm just going to go, I'm going to go to that Dairy Queen here, one of the ones that has the, it's the grill, so they have the burgers. I'm going to give that a try.
Yeah, I've seen ads for their burgers and the grill stuff, and it always looks really good. And then my wife had gotten some gift cards for Dairy Queen, which we got one by right by us, but it's ice cream only. Well, one day we finally managed to go over to that one on Hall Road there because we knew they had the burgers and stuff, and we tried it. Never going back there for that. It just wasn't good.
Really? Because that's where I'm at right now, just pulling up to the drive-thru.
Well, your mileage may vary, hard to say. I mean, it's not like, you know, it was god-awful and I, you know, wanted to, I would say don't go there. But considering the millions of other places I can go get a burger, that won't be one of them.
Okay, my order's in, for better or worse.
All right, well, good luck. I hope it's a good one for you. You got to find out. I'm expecting a full report sometime in the future.
All right, let me jump out here. If they don't accept American Express, so I got to dig around for my debit card. I'll be back. W at a few.
KE8VSI.
KE8DBZ monitoring. Okay, well, on the road with the goodies, with the booty, and the smell hasn't knocked me out.
All right, we heading back to the office.
Yuppers. Yeah, I just got a burger. How do you screw up a burger, right? So anyhow, yeah, I'll go down there and just finish out.
Right, very good. Not much else going on, kind of a lazy day, but boy, is it nice out here, I tell you what. The neighbor's out doing yard work, I chatted with him for a while, and my lawn is not quite in need of mowing, but if it was, I would certainly be doing that.
Yeah, I gotta hire somebody to come in and do some yard work for me. I've got some more yard work of my own to do. So I gotta really get on that. This weather is a wake-up call. Just waiting for it to get nice. I think this is as long as I can wait. So people's dance cards are gonna start getting filled up at this point. But anywho, then I got a tree I'd like to have brought down. At least a major branch on this tree. And it's gonna be some work. Might even require a lift or a crane or something. I don't know if it'll require a crane, but it's gonna require some judicious roping to not damage anything. It's a tricky one. And that's done before it starts to leave. If that thing starts to leave, then I got a whole nother mess to deal with.
Yeah, not last year, I think the year before, we had a bunch of trees trimmed up, branches and all that kind of stuff way up high, and a couple, actually quite a handful removed completely. And boy, those guys are good. I'll tell you what, they strung up, they were swinging between trees and this and that and the next thing and guiding the branches down and when they cut them, and they were good, I'll tell you what. And it was actually kind of a cool show to watch. I mean, they were literally that good. It was entertaining, and your jaw's on the floor going, wow, amazing. And my wife was watching them the whole time, and one of the guys came to talk to her, and he goes, I don't know how we know how to do that. And she goes, yeah. And he goes, yeah, we all just watched a YouTube video this morning.
Yeah, there you go. Crew that came out did a big, big walnut tree for me, and there was some dangerous parts, you know, where it could drop onto the house or, you know, neighbor's property and things like that. So there had to be some control. You know, they had this one guy in particular, he just seemed to have, you know, no fear. And, you know, we were calling him the tree monkey. And, man, I'll tell you what, that guy was on something. I don't know. He was just going a thousand miles an hour, just knocking things out. It's crazy. All right, I got to stop and tank up here, and then I'm parked. So I may get back out here, but maybe not. Anyhow, you be safe. Have fun. Enjoy this day. And we'll talk to you a little later. W8FU.
All right, enjoy the burger. I've been pulling in myself. K-E-A-V-S-I. W4XED.
KF8DUZ, W4XED. I can just make you out, but I can reach you. I'm just going entering St. Clair now.
I'm going to step out on the porch. Are you able to hear me now?
Yep, just fine. Just entering St. Clair now.
Beautiful day already.
Yeah, my thermometer says 75 degrees. I ought to open up the windows in the house while we still got it.
You'll have cold in the house. Okay, see you when you get home. KF8DUZ signing out.
KF8DUZ, W4XED, 88. See you in a bit. See you in a bit.
W8FU.
It's Deshaun. How are you doing this afternoon? KF80 Whale.
Well, doing pretty good. The thermal Bobby Healy says 75. Could it be?
It says 67 where I'm at, but I'm a little bit more north of you. Probably right.
Yeah, I'm sure some of it's big city. It's always a couple of degrees warmer. What's going on here? I'm seeing kind of a hazy smoke today. It's on my eyesight. Yeah, maybe not. Weird. Down here, yeah, I'm down here where it's typically a few degrees. Even if you get out toward the lake, it's a few degrees cooler. So this is as warm as it generally gets down here in the burbs.
Yeah, it's pretty darn warm. Even the cat wanted to go out.
Do you allow your cat outdoors? We have an outdoor cat. We've had both, but our current one is a dual sport.
We have two cats. One stays inside all the time. The other one is inside, outside. She comes back every night and wants to come inside. So I guess that works.
Yeah, that's the one thing about our cat. We're down to just one cat, one dog now. But our cat, she like she'll go in spurts. Like for a while, she wouldn't even come out of the attic. I mean, for years, we call her attic cat because she just wouldn't leave the attic. And then she started coming down the stairs to get our attention because we had to go up there to pet her and play with her and all that. We made it easy on her too because, you know, we put her, so she likes up there so much, we put her litter box up there and her food. She never had to leave. So probably we weren't helping matters, but, you know, then she started, you know, coming down a little bit. And, you know, then she got on a basement kick, you know, then outdoor kick, and then you let her out and you wouldn't see her forever, you know. And, you know, anybody see the cat? Sometimes, you know, she wouldn't even come in on warm nights. Now she's back there. She doesn't like to go out at all. She'll go out. She'll just go out. She'll be out for like 2 minutes. She wants back in. So weird. I just can never, tell what cat I got. You know, give it a month or two and she'll be probably outdoors for hours and hours and hours. Who knows? But I know when it got really cold, she was like, I'm having none of that. She'd still poke, she'd act like she'd want to go out. She'd kind of poke her nose out and she'd go, yep, no, none of that.
Yeah, I hear you. Every cat's got their own personality. Yeah, the one that goes outside, she used to go all around. She'd like want to go out first thing in the morning and you wouldn't see her again until dark or after dark. She'd be at the door and you'd let her in. But now she goes out and she's out for an hour or two and then she comes back like, I want to come in. I don't know. Maybe it's the... she can see the humans walking around with plates of food, and she's like, hey, I'm missing out on something. I need to be inside.
I got to try to figure out how old mine is, though. We were trying to figure out the other day. She's well into her teens. You wouldn't know it. But we got her when one of my son's friends had to, she had an apartment. First thing she did is ran out and got a cat like these young kids do, probably in her 20s, you know, 21, 22. Of course, it didn't last. She was, and she had to move back in with mom, and guess what? Mom said absolutely no cat. So we decided to watch her until she got back on her feet. Now here we are, 12, 13 years later.
If you take her to the vet, the vets are pretty good at figuring out how old they are.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just can't remember. I'll dig around through the records and see. Try to figure out what's, but man, we're just thinking the other day, man, how old is she? Can't remember. Hell, I can't remember how old my dog is either. I know he's got to be getting up there too, but he's a little dog, so we've always had really big dogs, and of course they live much shorter lifespans than the little ones, so I don't know what to expect out of this first little dog we've ever owned, and so I guess we'll have to see. I know he's got a problem that plagues his breed, clapstrachea they call it, causes them to just start hacking even every now and again, but it generally passes within a few. It says it can get progressively worse, but so far he's been cruising along with it. I don't know if it's going to have any detrimental effects on his long-term health. Can't get it fixed, so I don't know. But he's getting up there too, so two pets both getting up there in years. Pretty good longevity, so pretty happy about that. I had a string of a couple of bad ones. I had a big Doberman had congestive heart failure, and had another one that had a liver disorder. It's like, holy cow. It's like, you know, got double whammy, two in a row.
Yeah, my buddy went through two big dogs recently, and right now he's got no dog, but I'm sure he'll get another one fairly quickly here. He usually doesn't like to be without a dog for more than 6 or 9 months.
Yeah, a friend of mine has Great Danes. Lost hers in, I think, February, maybe early March, and I just saw her post the other day. New addition to the family. And another big old Doberman there. She's the same age as me. Her husband's at least the same, so I'm going to say. All right, well, with a big, big dog, probably not going to need to live to 80-something, but still going to have to live well in your 70s, just to be sure.
Oh, man, the last tenants we had, she had two Great Danes. She only said she had one, but I went over there one day to do something, and I see two. And she's gone all day at work, and those dogs are, I don't know much about dogs, but Great Danes are super anxious without their humans around, and those dogs chew the shit out of all the woodwork in the house, all the windowsills, all the door frames, door wall wood. Like, oh my God, man, these dogs just destroyed the place.
Yeah, they're needy. They like to be by their people, but they're amazingly easy. You know, you'd think a Great Dane, you know, oh, you better have a big yard, this, that, and the other, and they're amazingly comfortable in those small spaces, and they don't need a lot of yard. They just be couch potatoes. You know, it doesn't mean you don't got to get them out and get them moving, but I had setters for a while. That's what we were doing. I've had Gordons, English, Irish. I've got all the setter breeds, and you know, they like to run, man. They like their got to have some property or make it a point to get them out, work them. That's the big thing. But the working breeds less so, and I understand the big ones like Great Danes. They're pretty content. But like you said, they like their people, so they'll be pretty content in the smallest of spaces. Unless they're alone, then they're upset. Great dogs, though. Just, man, they're big. I'm at the point now in my life where, you know, the biggest fear I have is they need to go to the vet and I got to carry them or something. You know, that's it's one thing to be able to lift, you know, 120 pounds, 130 pounds. Another one to lift 130, you know, pounds with, that's in pain or something or sick or moving and all that, you know, good grief. That magnifies it. Something awful.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Now that house we rent's on an acre and a half, so it's only like a 1,300 square foot house, but it's on an acre and a half. There's plenty of room there. Those Great Danes also wore a path in the lawn around in a circle around the house, like down to dirt, like it looked like a little racetrack around the whole house. It was kind of funny.
Oh yeah, I had that same thing with my setters. There'd be you'd let them out the back door, and then there was a single track, you know, right to the gate, you know, where the where they would stand and watch everybody walk by, and then another one that would run along the perimeter for a while. You know, after that, it got kind of loose. You know, there was definitely one that was beat down. I couldn't go grass back there for the longest time, but it's been long enough now. That's all. No signs of that anymore. Grass all the way to the gate again, finally. Or clover or whatever the hell, crabgrass, whatever it is. If you were to come and inspect my lawn and looking for the Kentucky bluegrass, I'd say, yeah, well, there might be a patch back there somewhere.
Yeah, grass grows back. That didn't bother me. The woodwork being all chewed to hell, that bothered me there. I'm like, well, Monica, your security deposit's gone and then some. You're going to owe me, like, quite a bit here. He's like, I know, I'll pay you, I know. She never paid.
But at least she knew.
Well, did you get your taxes done? I spent the morning screwing around finalizing my stupid taxes. That's always fun. But I have them pretty much in order now. I haven't hit the submit button yet, but I'll do that later. I'm going to enjoy the day for now.
Oh, yeah, I got mine off and back already.
I'll probably in the month of February still. So, yeah, I was pretty fast. Mine were easy, nothing really complicated or nothing I had to really wait for. And I've got it almost on the point where I am getting a little bit back from the feds now, which I had it pretty much down to even, you know, just very little. I don't like owing. I guess that's best, but I don't like owing them, and I don't consider it good finances to, you know, have them paying me thousands. That's thousands I could put to work for me during the year instead of letting them have an interest free. So I try to get it close. It's not bad. I'm usually within a few hundred. I think I got $400 or $500 back this year from the feds and owed a tiny bit to the state. That seems to be par for the course for me. But, you know, as long as there's no unexpected bills. But I haven't been keeping track. Is today the day? What's the date?
Tomorrow's the day. Today is the 14th. Tomorrow's the 15th.
Oh, you got lots of time. Don't sweat it.
Yeah, the 15th is also the first quarterly estimated taxes for businesses as well. So I never get a refund. So even if I get a, quote, refund, I always just say apply it to my first quarter 2025 taxes instead. So I still end up having to write checks, but at least it's a smaller check. But, yeah, at least you understand that that's the amount you overpaid. It's not really a refund. You overpaid. That's why it says overpaid on the actual form. There's some people that have, like my mother-in-law, she thinks if she gets a refund, she thinks whoever's president did it, and she's going to vote for that guy again.
Well, in a kind of weird way, you could make that analogy of these reduces your tax burden and then you get more back, or increases your tax burden and now you got to pay. I see where you could get that impression, but yeah, no, it's not good to, you know, it's best to pay them if it's not a big deal for you to sock the money away, earning a little interest for you, and then get the money there to put the check. That's probably the best way to do it. I'm not comfortable doing that. I'm not responsible enough. So I like to pay just what I'm supposed to. Make it nice and on the line. If I can make it zero, don't owe, don't get nothing back, that'd be all good. But I'd rather err. I don't mind a mistake because it's usually not much. I don't think it's ever been 200. It's, you know, been somewhere between, you know, 50 and 150 is what I owe them, and then I always get back, you know, $400 to $600 from the feds. I guess I could take my I just claim exactly what I'm entitled to, my wife and I, and I guess I could go to one on my state and go to three on my federal or something like that, and try to get it a little closer, but I'm not terribly unhappy with the way it works out. W8FU.
Yeah, I have to play around with my estimated quarterly taxes. No W-2 for me, but if I screw up the estimated quarterly taxes, yeah, if you underpaid, you're going to get penalized for underpaying earlier in the year. Like, you're supposed to pay so much every quarter, and like there was one year where one of my customers didn't pay me for like 6 months, so I didn't pay the estimated quarterly taxes for the first quarter because I didn't get, you know, I only took in a little bit of money from some other customers. That was my major customer, and then they paid me for all the back stuff. But when I first filled out the tax thing, it said I owed a crap load of money because it had averaged it automatically, And I had to go into the tax program and go, okay, I didn't get this income until this date. That's why I got no income on the first quarter. But, yeah, if you screw stuff up, you can get harmed very quickly. But I got it down now. I've been doing it long enough. Shouldn't be a problem. KF8A WOW.
Roger. Well, that's the key. Just get it figured out. So, yeah, I'm pretty simple. I've every year I try to see if do I have enough mortgage interest or points or, you know, all these different things that can make you itemize, you know. And I never itemize. I think back when I had a little side business, we had to write off some losses with the side business. So I itemized then. That was the only way I could do that. Did that for a couple of years. But, I mean, aside from that, I'm just in the normal course of things. But I've got exactly one job, you know, single income household, married filing jointly, so I get the, you know, I get the biggest standard. And I crunch the numbers every which way, from Sundays this way, forward, backwards, and try to find out. Never can beat the standardized deduction. People tell me all the time, oh, yeah, you know, I do this, I claim that. I don't know. Just never worked out for me.
Well, I used to itemize almost every year until I think it was like 2018, 2019, the Trump tax, you know, their big tax crap that they passed back then, that increased the standard deduction by 70%. So, yeah, I haven't itemized since, because the standard deduction is greater than anything I could itemize. But, yeah, I have buddies who are like, I didn't get a benefit. I was right on the line anyway. So now all the people who only had like a couple thousand in itemization, they got a huge, huge benefit. But I didn't get nothing because I was right on the line anyway. I've been itemizing and not itemizing on the new number. Like, well, yeah, I guess you could look at it that way, that it's a kind of a tax against you. But I don't know. I guess, yeah. Whatever, it's all on how you look at it. It's like, well, you got a bigger deduction, so now you don't have to screw around with a bunch of paperwork and keeping all those papers and charity donations and all the stuff that you can itemize on that schedule. You don't have to keep track of it anymore. You just get the deduction by hand. So, I don't know, it doesn't bother me. I like the bigger standard deduction.
Well, I certainly do. I don't like having to monkey around with it. So, you know, can I absolutely say with confidence that I've never missed a thing? I can't be 100% sure. But one year where things were really complicated for me, I did seek, you know, professional to help me work it all out. And aside from the specialty thing that I did, you know, everything was pretty much as I expected, so there were no surprises. A couple of times in my life I've actually gone in and seen a pro, so because there were extenuating circumstances I didn't want to bone up on. But I just like it when it's nice and simple and the standard deduction works, and I look over all my options and I say, do I have any of this where it would warrant me going in? Never do. So, all right, anyhow, I just pulled up. I'm going to jump out here, get inside, get comfortable, and see what the rest of the afternoon has in store. Looks like there's a little wind picking up. No big deal, but no bike rides. Chris, I'm too fat to bike ride right now anyhow. That's what I was going to do. I'm going to sign up for Planet Fatness again. Get on the treadmill. All right, we'll catch you. W8FU.
All right, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. There's plenty of it left.
KF80 Whale.
KE8 VSI, Sean, if I catch you, just real quick, how was that burger?
Doesn't that contradict planet fatness?
Yeah, it looks like he bailed into the house. Yeah, I guess it does. But don't we all do that? Try to do this and then do things that go against that. And, yep, what you doing?
Oh, the same old crap, trying to figure out something that's not documented very well. That's usually my theme.
Yeah, I'll play with obscure stuff or whatever, or unknown or new things or whatever. You gotta figure it out, but that's what you're good at.
Yeah, every once in a while I want it to be easy, though. Every once in a while. But yeah, no, I'm just, we had a request, and first it was like very vague, vaguely defined. We want this, and it just like no details, no context. So you had to go chase for context, and then finally understand that, and then it's like, oh, okay. But then the request turned out to be, you know, the person that requested it thought it was going to be simple and that everything was kind of there, but it turned out not to be. So it's taken longer than it should. So I'm just documenting all the things that I found.
All righty. Mapper UHD. It's a Windows program. Very, kind of like a ham clock. It's got a world clock with like a dozen clocks across the top. It works in high def, 4K. Very adjustable as far as things you want to plot. Does PSK Reporter and your logbook. Neat things. I'm just kind of dabbling with it on a 30-day free trial.
I missed what it was. What are you trying to do in a 30-day trial? KF8S.
It's a, I guess, alternative to Ham Clock. It's a Windows piece of software with lots of features similar to Ham Clock.
Okay. Well, after you evaluated it, and if you ended up keeping it, you know, to post some screenshots, I guess don't bother sharing unless you're going to keep it.
Yeah, I messed with it probably several months ago very quickly, and it turned out to be more settings that I wanted to deal with at the time. And now I'm spending some time with it and kind of putting in, you know, my location, my call sign, PSK Reporter stuff, my logbook stuff, you know, and kind of, you know, really kind of taking a step at setting up and all the different layers that you can add, what I want to see, taking off what I don't want to see, getting it all customized, and then decide if I want to keep it or not. Right now, I'm still on the fence. It's not like, oh, this is great. It looks like it'll be great in the beginning, but just visually, just not cutting it for the moment, but I'm not done playing with it.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I was, for a while, I had one of my monitors set up, like, I would open up my web browser, and then I had, like, a special bookmark that, like, kind of put everything in kind of, like, frames, and I made everything that I wanted to, like, status check would be in, like, these frames. And I forgot exactly what I had there, but one of them was the ham clock. You know, the web interface for the ham clock was in its own little frame. And then I have, like, DX spots and another frame and things like that. It was cool, but I don't think it works anymore. It's been a while since I messed with it.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning you did that before. Very cool idea. I've got the three monitors set up, so I can have a lot of information in front of me. And then on any one of them, you know, I just swipe and I get another screen. So if I, you know, I go however many screens deep on any one of them. So that seems to work for me better than trying to get everything on one screen. But this was a different program, and it definitely catches your eye. I'll mess with it for probably another hour or two and then decide. Plus, I have to run it in Windows, which is fine. I've got Parallels running, and it works okay. If I could go native Mac, I would prefer it, but I haven't found anything yet. In the long run, really all I wanted was kind of like a world clock across the top, which this does very well, you know, with all the time zones, or, you know, not all of them, but different cities. Nah, I don't really need that. It's just a neat factor, I guess.
Yeah, I pretty much resigned to Windows as my ham stuff just because, you know, programming and all that stuff. But it's getting better. Some of them are modern radios, like they have ARM drivers for the thing. Or the, you know, the FTDI, those cables will, Windows will just install it properly. But, you know, what you could always do if it'd be... It seems like you've got everything worked out, but at some point, if you ever needed to just go Windows full-time, they make those little mini PCs. They're just so cheap now. So the ones that are under $200 would be more than enough for ham use. Of course, it's not using your Mac, but then you can you could cheat and use the Windows app and remote desktop into it and things like that. But I don't know. It's hard to you know, do all this stuff on the Mac. Most things work, but there's always that one oddball.
Yep, that's for sure. And the oddballs are few and far between. And I do have a Dell desktop computer with Windows 10 on it, but I remote desktop that when the need arises. And then I also have that new MacBook Pro that, or used one, I should say, that dual boots into Windows 10 as well. So I'm set for Windows machines. But, they've got those little ones like you got or that you mentioned that look almost the same format as the Mac Mini. That would be kind of neat just to have that stacked here if I ever decide to go that route. I've considered it, but I don't really need it. So.
I've always wanted to put Linux on those things, but every time I, like, get a one of those mini PCs, they come with a Windows 11 Pro license, and it's like, oh, I feel like I'm wasting the Windows 11 Pro license. And you can't pay for it to be cheaper either, right? You know, like, I don't want the Windows 11 Pro license, just send it to me. Give me $50 off. They don't do that. I don't even know how they're getting a license. I know Microsoft gives them a free pool of licenses just to kind of get everybody on there, or if they're doing it illegally and just stealing codes from somewhere. But the way they do it now is it's built into the firmware, or the, I don't know if they call it BIOS anymore, but it's the equivalent. Like, you can query the some kind of, like, strings in the hardware, you know, where your serial number is and all that stuff. They embed the Windows key there, and or token, some kind of token that Microsoft already knows is, like, it's okay to have Windows on it or something like that. And I used to, a long time ago, I used to, like, old laptops that they would be retiring and throwing away, I would query them, I would boot up in Linux and query the BIOS for the Windows key, and I would write them down on a piece of paper. So I had all these spare, like, Windows keys for a long time before they phased that out.
Okay. Well, you mentioned you wanted to put the Linux on one of those boxes, but you were worried you didn't want to waste the Windows 11 Pro key. Couldn't you go back to it? Or once you go Linux, you can't go back? I'm not sure.
Typically, you'll boot it up when you first get it, boot it into Windows, let it call home to Microsoft or whatever, and then that kind of like registers the hardware with their database. So the next time you go install Windows, it automatically knows. So every computer out there has got like a unique identifier. They call it UUID or something like that, and it's built into the, it's actually like in your processor. It's like every processor's got like a, kind of like a unique identifier that technically can't be duplicated. So they always like key off of that, and maybe like the hard drive or something like that. They'll like take a combo of that. But anyways, you have a call home once so that it's like registered with like Microsoft, and then you can go and just do whatever you want to, put Linux on it and whatever. But if you ever wanted to go back to Windows, you could load it, or you could, you know, back up with it. But I think that's how it works. But they used to be that way. I don't know if they've changed it, so I may be speaking wrong here.
Okay, yeah, that was pretty much my understanding as well. So, yeah, again, I don't know if it's changed either. But okay, so you could go back or do a boot or whatever, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I like these little mini PCs, but I've got so many old computers and compute that I could just repurpose that I just end up using that. The only reason I would probably use like a mini PC is just to save battery or save energy usage. You know, it's going to use a lot less power. I can leave it on all the time. Kind of like why we use the Raspberry Pis, because they just sip power. But some of these newer PCs, when they're idle, they just sip power too. So, but anyways, yeah, it's kind of what you want to do with them. But I have so many extra Raspberry Pis too, so like I feel like I don't want to buy anything new because I've got stuff that I can reuse and repurpose. So until those things become obsolete, I just keep on recycling them.
Yep, roger that. Yeah, you've got the hardware. You've got all kinds of it. So, yeah, you're better off for individual projects. You could probably have dedicated machines for a lot of things. You could have one just as a calculator, just for fun.
License Eric is throwing out random comments saying, ZZZZ, boring, who cares? I think we should be talking about dinner plans now. Let's see, what is everybody having for dinner now?
I left space for him. He did throw one out over you as well. Rather agitate and complain about what he's hearing than join in and make the conversation interesting. Don't have any dinner plans here yet. Did McDonald's for lunch, but I was hungry. So, Eric, what are you doing for dinner? KE8BSI.
Trying to find all the conversations that he doesn't like hearing people talk about. So people making plans for food, if we talk about computer stuff. Let's see, what other things would annoy Eric?
We got to come up with a not Eric-approved stamp for topics.
Conversations that should have been phone calls. I know that's one of the ones he doesn't like. Let's see. Mumbling, bad statically. I could lower my power down to like half a watt and go into the repeater. That would annoy him.
Yeah, the possibilities are endless.
Talking about taxes, because tomorrow's tax day, and how Trump is horrible.
and things like that. There you go. But I'm just putting it off the radio.
He's from working on a couple things out there. At first, I thought he was on his ride home, but it's too early for that. So, all right, we'll talk to you later. KEABS.
KEAWUO.
Just going by his work, wondering what he was doing to get everybody angry today. I am looking at the antenna for both the 7.2 and the 2.6 and finding a parking spot at Planet Fatness. So I will say good afternoon, but I'm bowing out here to go get a half an hour in.
Oh, all right. Well, I just had two things. I want to know how that burger was. And I'm having trouble with that guy, as well. I didn't know if there was an issue.
Well, I don't know why you're so noisy. The burger was good. No complaints. And I didn't catch the back half of that.
Okay, glad to hear the burger was good. Noisy because I'm on an HT trying to connect to the hub of my All-Star node, my clear node, but I can't connect. So we'll just talk about it later. Get in there and get your half hour.
Todd, you listening? All right, let me see if I can reboot or something. See where we're at. Of course, I may reboot and knock the whole darn network down. So, let me see what I can do. But that's two people now, so... That's funny, too, because my phone and it was connecting right up, and it's pretty much the same thing. All right, I'll look into it. I got to get inside here, though, get this knocked out. W8FU.
Roger, KP8DSI.
I'm connected to 48412 with DV switch. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. W8FSM from W8FU.
KE8VSI testing.
All right, are we still having problems?
Well, if you can hear me right now, I'm in on the node. I did reboot it, so maybe that fixed it, or if you did anything, I don't know.
I was walking into Planet Fatness, so I couldn't really do much. I looked at it online, all the repeaters were connected. Fred rebooted it. He said he saw some weird stuff in the logs, but nothing, you know, would account for it. I logged in with both ground wire, which was a connection to 1999, and DV switch, which was a connection to 1999. Then I went to my clear node, and I had it connect to 43732, and it connected no problem. So I don't know, weird. But Fred did reboot it, so very strange.
Cool, I'll meet you at the door. Be right back.
That P8WOJ,
you got the link back to West Bloomfield. It was down for a while also, I think, on the reboot.
Yeah, on the reboot, it'll take a little, it shouldn't take too long, but it should come back up pretty short order. So are you looking at the dashboard by any chance? Do you see all the repeaters?
Oh, you guys gave me that address one time, and I forgot it. But I was kind of listening there when they kind of rebooted, and the link to West Bluefield came back, like, right away.
Yeah, no, the link, you know, the link to the dashboard. What was all that noise? K8FBI. servebeer.com. That'll take you to the dashboard. But anyhow, I'll be home shortly. I'll just check everything out then.
Okay, good luck. And did you guys ever go out to Bald Mountain there and play radio?
The collective we did, but I was not amongst the collective we.
Oh, okay. I was gonna wander on out there and check out the equipment and meet you guys too, but couldn't get even hold of anybody on Saturday. Well, and that would have been fun to watch.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. Just hang out, you know. Sometimes some people just come and barbecue up some hot dogs and drink beer, and some bring radios. Some just have a pop and hang out. I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes I'll ride my bike, and a couple of times I'll take advantage and get some biking in, and I'll make it a stop on the way. I do a lot of riding in Bald Mountain, Paint Creek, around Stony Creek, around Metro, so if I hear of one going to be in one of those areas, you know, I'll deliberately bike ride, you know, out that way. So, it's always good to swing in, whether you plan on participating or not. And just, if nothing else, just to hang out and enjoy the day in the park. And you know, it's kind of cool looking at all the different setups, because everybody's got a little bit different take on, you know, on how to bring, a park setup, a POTA setup. So, yeah, make it a point. There'll be lots of them. We do them all the time. Well, those guys do. I admire from afar, because I'm old and fat and lazy. But I'm working on that. First day, back in the gym.
Yeah, Roger that. I'm old and broke down too, so I don't get out a whole lot either. But I did go, Jim. I can't remember his call sign there. He's a net operator for NADUI, Ann Arbor repeater. They have a morning a round table over there, and he was headed out over here by me to a park one day, and I asked him if I could stop in and check out his setup there, and it was very cool. In 30 minutes, he made like 35 contacts all around the country. I was real impressed.
Yeah, now from that perspective, it wasn't the best of weekends, because the guys said the bands were pretty crappy and they didn't. They had to fight for 10 contacts. You go on a good day, and now's the time, you know, because we're still in a pretty good spot in the cycle. And, you know, you go out there and there's a good day, they'll just be like fish in a barrel, man. They'll just be working them one after another and lighting it up. But I guess they were struggling a little bit Saturday. The bands were kind of crappy. So, I mean, it doesn't detract from everything else. But if you're going to see them just, you know, whipping out contacts and just seeing how amazing, you know, they can do on these limited, you know, setups, you know, it'd be good to go out there when the bands are hopping, when 10 and 15, 20 are open. That's all good. So, but yeah, just keep your ear peeled. You'll be hearing a lot of that.
Yeah, I'll do just that. And that's what Jim said too when I was there. I was just amazed at how many contacts he got. He goes, "Oh, this is a rare day. It never happens like that usually." But he posted that he was going to be there somewhere online there, and boy, a whole lot of people showed up. But, okay, anyway, I'll let you get back, get home there, and have a good night, and we'll catch you down the road. KE8WOJ.
Just give me the name again. I know the call, and I know the voice, and I'm just brain farting, putting it all together.
It's Rick on this end.
Hey, Rick. Yeah, see, I think over, I know you better over on the other side, but, okay, very good. All right, very good, Rick. And, Rick from, I'll try to commit it. I'm terrible at that. You know, they say all you gotta do is remember your own call, so it seems like I mentally, that's all I do. Yeah, so. All right, catch you later. W8FU.
Have a good one. I'm the same way. I know my call, and the rest I got to look up. Have a good one. Catch you later. KE8WOJ.
CDW testing 1, 2, 3. KE8VSI.
Yes, I. Yes. Yes.
see. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, Jack. How are you? What's going on this beautiful day? I did get out this afternoon for some lunch. Other than that, I wish I would have spent more time outside today. What you up to?
I was outside, like 5 hours outside, clean up a little bit, and I had to change the oil on that lawnmower. It was so dirty from back here, I had to change it, but it's still not done. But it's beautiful outside. Now I just came inside and see what, and I heard you out there.
All right, very good. Got some outside time in. That's excellent. Yeah, lawnmower oil change. I got an electric mower a year or two ago, battery powered one, and so I don't have to do that sort of thing anymore. But get it done, because otherwise it'll cause you troubles. As far as yard work, I'm glad you got started on that. Not much here I can do yet, but won't be long before I'm mowing and trimming and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, Greg, you know that. It's a rider, that's why. I don't have an electric one, but it's a rider. So because I got about 2.5 lots I got here, that's why. So I have to use a rider, you know, you cannot do it by your hand. Or electric, that's why. But really it was so dirty that but it's still not done yet. I got to go back there. And, you don't want the oil left in there a little bit, so you have to pick it up, you know, juggle it. I call it juggle it because then you get the whole oil out. Roger.
Copy that. Oh, yeah. You got to jostle it around and get everything out of there and actually let it sit for a long time. And, yeah, I've done it before. Yeah, you got a rider on 2.5 lots, so, yeah, I would want a rider, too. Otherwise, you'll be out there for 2 days mowing the lawn. So, very good.
Right about that. Then the grass, really, on the side of the house, it grows so hard, so fast, you know, it's over about 2-3 inches already.
Yeah, Roger that. The majority of mine does not need to be mowed yet, but if I look between the houses, I'll bet you it's the same thing here. So I'm imagining within the next week I'll be hitting it.
Right. I don't know why, but it's so fast, you know what I mean? And I don't know what happened on the side of the house. Like a blue flowers came out too with that. With the grass. So I figure, you know, that's a good time to go outside. And I went outside for a little bit. You know, all these 3-4 hours I had to get everything cleaned up a little bit. And that's what happened.
I got flowers mixed in with the lawn, eh? Probably some sort of flower that just kind of spread its pollen out. Off it went. Interesting.
That's what it is. It's really interesting. I never see something like that, you know, and I guess because the sun hits the side of the house and the girl dies fast because it gets so warm, you know what I mean? Even at the house, it doesn't until at night, which is good.
That definitely makes a difference, because I know that same sort of thing happens here. Your signal's kind of waving in and out. Don't know if you're inside on an HT or something like that. I can still make out most of it, but it's not your usual good signal.
How about now? Is now any better? Because I'm talking all right on the mic.
Out of there, but there's still kind of, the signal sounds like it's waving a little bit.
I don't know, I'm on the tram. on a 240, the LMR is good than the track, you know. This, I don't know SWR on it, but as soon as we're finished, I'll find out what's the SWR on it.
Okay, that one was the worst transmission yet. I heard something about a tram. I'm going to assume that's your antenna and that you're going to check the SWR. Yeah, if you're not on an HT and you're on a better antenna than that, it should be better than it is. So I would check your connections and things like that. So more fun to be had with our new, with your new toys anyway.
You're right, Greg. You're right. Anyhow, good talking to you, and you take care. We'll talk again. KE8RSI KF8BRC. I'll listen out.
All righty. That one sounded fairly good. So, yeah, something might be a little intermittent there with a connection, so. All right, let you go. It's KE8V, Victor, Sam, Ida, VSI. I'm clear.
Check and for GPO. This is Kilo November 4, Golf Oscar, performing a quick radio test. This is Kilo November 4, Golf Papa Oscar, performing a radio test.
KN4GPO, this is W8FU, you are sounding full quieting into the West Bloomfield repeater, over.
Quieting sounds good. I didn't get your call sign there. Could you repeat that real quick for me?
Yes, call sign here is Whiskey 8 Fox United, W8FU.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the radio check, W8FU, KN4GPO.
All right. Yep, sounding fine wherever you're at. You're making it just fine. W8FU.
K8BB.
K8 Boogie Boogie. You are 5 into the repeater. Over.
Just five. Okay, I'll take it. Yeah, I have like a minute to be home, so I thought I'd just jump in and say hi.
Yeah, I just was sitting here getting ready to, we're having some network issues, apparently. I was just trying to troubleshoot them on the network, and I heard the KN4 station, so I figured I'd give them a call there. But nothing else really going on here. Maybe, let's see, 9:30, maybe get a little bit of TV in, get an hour or so in. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. No great shakes, no great plans. How about you? What do you got planned when you get home?
Not sure. I got to follow up on a couple of work emails, and I got to pet the kitties and feed them because they're going to get their second dinner a little late. We're just getting home from a fancy wine dinner, which was very fancy and very wine dinner. Let me wander downstairs for a few minutes. Maybe pour something, but we'll see. That's optional tonight. So that's about it. There was something I was going to mention. I forgot what you commented on something you said. I don't remember. Anyhow, I got about another minute here, and I'll be in the garage.
Well, if it's important, you'll remember. If not, another day. But, no, I was just commenting on how I was going to maybe try to get an hour TV here and try to troubleshoot a network issue, so I don't know if it was related to that or related to that little real estate nugget I sang earlier.
Well, yeah, other than that being 100% true, I literally have those clients right now. Literally have been working with them for 2.5-3 years and exactly that situation. So anyway, alright, I'm home. I'm going to back into the garage here, which takes 2 hands. I will catch you in a bit. W8FU, K8BB.
K8BB from W8FU.
W8FUNAW.
Well, Jay, how are you, sir? What's shaking?
Nothing but the bacon. How about that?
Well, there you go. Got a little bit of a buzz or something with your signal. It's not horrible, but it's not your usual gloatious tones. Which repeater are you trying to access right now? Or are you accessing right now?
2600.
All right. Don't you do 500 better? Not sure.
Well, I switched over to 500. It did seem like it was bad.
Gosh darn it, Jay, I'm going to have to get you a receiver down that way. I mean, we can't have this. But anyhow, yeah. Now, Phil got his repeater, he got the PA all fixed up on it, so it should be talking a little better. The receiver, I don't think, is... It's been quite good for a while, so I'm really surprised you don't make that one really good. But maybe your antenna's just a little off, so you're just a little shaky. A little shaky into this one.
Oh, no, how's that? I'm on the 2500 now. How's that?
Night and day, you sound glorious.
It used to be like that. Like I told Phil, fine beer used to be better than repeater. Getting into it in the past, but what did he do to him? What did Phil do to this machine? He done boosted it up or something.
Well, we think he took a lightning hit and his antenna was bad. So for a couple of years, until very recently, he was running crippled, you know, with poor performance. And it was noticeably down, at least a few years. And then I think it was back in January, it was very early in the year, they came out and they put up a brand Skippy new antenna for him. I think new hardline, although not 100% sure on that, and got all that worked out. And that immediately got the receiver back, but he discovered at that point that he had a bad PA. So he's been kind of battling with that the last couple of months, and he just recently got that resolved. So it should be all right as rain now. And yeah, you probably were having trouble with it until recently when he got the antenna replaced. So this is probably your money stop for this system.
Okay, sounds good. Well, you know, but I just kind of want a shot. I mean, I scan the band and I turn my beam and I try to everything. And this around here is pretty dead. It's not that many people on the radio anymore. What y'all, you guys went to, since you guys went to GUR or whatever that GMU, see, what is it? GMUR frequencies or something. That's where everybody now.
Oh, no, there was a little, there was a little honeymoon with it when we first got it all up and running, and, you know, we put in a network that was, you know, unheard of, you know, in that service, and all that. And so for a little while, there was a little honeymoon period where everybody was enamored with it, but, nah, it's pretty much, you know, there's a little activity there, but the clientele seems to be degrading, and signs of other services are sneaking in little by little. So that's just not nearly as popular as it once was. And as a matter of fact, my repeater in Mount Clemens needs work, and I don't have any of those things to give. So keep me into I recharge them and go fix it. But I got amateur radio projects that are taking precedent. But I mean, it's still there. It still works pretty good. We've gotten some good catches off the service, I'm not totally giving up. But no, nobody's there right now, Jay. Everybody's just off doing other things. I think the biggest problem, Jay, is the number of places we have to talk. You know, we have all sorts of apps on our phones and Zellos and Discords and, you know, and this, that, and the other, and, you know, and then a million places we can fragment off into. You know, in the old days, it was, you know, you were on repeaters or you were on Simplex. And other than that, you know, you'd be down on HF, you know. So, I mean, there was a limited pool of places you could be, and they all kind of had their own, you know, special, you know, their own piccadillies. But nowadays, there's 1,000 places you can go, and so we're splintered in 1,000 directions.
Yeah, Roger. Well, that's what it looked like, Sean. I guess you're right. Got some places, too many places to go. When I got in this hobby, I had friends been in here since the early 80s and stuff, but I didn't get my license until 92. I just looked like I was too cheap to go down there to the federal building and take the Morris code. I had it. I just, anyway, one day, friend said, hey, Jay, you don't need that no more. You know, they got no code or stuff like that. But I wish I had a just ticket in that way, but oh well. But when I got in, most people used to be on 2 meters. Not hardly anybody was on 440. And I used to see my call sign fast just to get in between people. And I guess it's stuck with me all this time. They said, okay, why do you always say your call sign so fast? And I had to do that in order to get in between people. I said, It ain't them Joe. So there you go, Sean. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, well, 92, man, you're just about when I got in. I got in just a little ahead of you. It was probably 88, so very good. Right about that same time. It's been fun. It's very different, you know. It was different. I would have liked to have been in it, you know, even earlier because I think a lot of things, you know, I'm fully capable of being in it, you know, from the 70s. And, you know, if I had known about it and if I had applied myself, but of course I didn't get into it in the late 80s. And I think a lot of really cool stuff happened in that stretch from the middle to late 70s on. It would have been fun to watch and experience, but a lot's changed just in the time we've been in, you know. Like you said, it used to be really busy, and now it's different, but, you know, there's more amateurs than ever, so it ain't like it's because there's not the amateurs out there. There are tons, but there's a lot of people, having a lot of fun, doing a lot of stuff. You just got to kind of figure out where they're at. You know, repeaters just aren't the thing anymore. You know, they're out there all over doing all sorts of things. They're on Discord and Telegram and Zello and that's in addition to all the places we used to be able to fragment. So, all right, Jay, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to get out of here. I got some things I got to attend to, and I want to catch a television show before I go to bed. I like to try to be in bed before midnight, so I got a limited amount of time here to try to get it all in.
Hi, Sean. Well, thanks for coming back, and you have a good night. We'll talk to you later. This is November 8th, Whiskey Juliet Lima Claire.
All right, Jay, you take care. Thanks for stopping in, and we'll catch you next time. Hey, WJL from WAW.
And the Romeo okay, too.
WOT. Well, in other news, Sharon got her approved for her appointment with an orthopedic surgeon about her shoulder. She goes in Friday for that.
Wednesday?
Wednesday. So that's good. Going to see the same doctor who did mine. Okay, I guess everybody's busy doing something. I'm going to jump off. You guys have a great night. NAWOT.